Alana, I'm so kind of nervous. So happy that we're here together today.
Me too.
I want to take our like relationship to like the next level.
Oh my God. Wait.
So I was wondering, would you like to be the executive producer of So Many White Guys?
Whoa, I was not expecting that today. I also thought that you meant like romantic.
I mean, I'm down
okay.
for that too.
That's cool. I mean, I think we get to the romance later. The So Many White Guys, I would love to EP this show. That would be amazing.
We're such a good team.
Whew.
Oh my God.
That's dope.
So Many White Guys. Guys, so what? How much whiteness? All over the place. God damn. So many white guys. So many white guys.
Welcome to So Many White Guys. I'm your host, Phoebe Robinson. You probably know me best from Two Dope Queens and also The R Train, but this show is my side piece. That means we don't do any PDA in public. I will not call you on your birthday. We don't go out on Valentine's Day, but we go out the day after. But, you know, we can bang on like a Sunday afternoon at like 3:15. Anyway, I'm living out my talk show host dreams. I get to chat all day with super smart and crazy talented people who make me feel like I'm not doing enough, even though I feel like, you know, mama's working hard. You got that, Joanna?
Ooh, got it. Killed it.
Guys, do I even need to say it? My producer's white.
That bad, huh?
No, Joni Mitch, I love you.
Oh, I love you too.
Okay.
But I am white.
Yeah.
I just don't have that swagger.
You mean swagger? Swagger? Okay, Minnesota. But you could be the next president. I've just been thinking about it a lot, and like, we might have a lady president soon.
Yeah, it's historic.
Yeah, totes historic. And I've got a lot of advice and some thoughts that I want to share with Hillary or whoever the first female president's going to be. Are you ready for this, Joanna? I want you to, like, take some goddamn notes. Because this is when I'm finished, we're going to email this to Hillary.
Hold on. I need a pen. One second.
Great.
One sec. Okay.
We're going to email it to Hillary and CC Huma. Okay. Just in case Hillary doesn't check her emails, which I think we all know she check her damn emails. Hey, Hillary, you still my girl, but that was shady.
Wait, do you have Huma's email?
Huma, you know who it is, at hotmail.com. She's really classy, but then she gets like hood. She's like, you know who this is? And it's like, oh, damn, Huma.
It's Huma.
Okay, so Hillary, you're going to be the first prez. That's like super important. First thing you gotta do, you gotta change your life event on Facebook so you can get them likes. Then you can, like, delete your LinkedIn because you got a job for the next 4 years. So you don't want the American people to think that you're, like, looking for another job during your lunch break at Chipotle, you know? So, like, just show that you're exclusive with us. But then also, like, you can do some serious stuff. Like, equal pay, like, can we make that happen, like, soon? For real, it's like we all need money. So if you could help us out with that, that'd be great. You know, we also need to do something to celebrate women. Like a clitoral celebration. Oh! I just high-fived myself.
Like clitoral as in rhyming with literal.
So like, you know how music festivals, there's like Lollapalooza. Is that like from the 90s, right, Joanna?
Yeah, very 90s.
That was like Red Hot Chili Peppers.
And Oasis.
And Oasis. So I think you should do like a bomb-ass like women's festival of like, you get people like Oprah, you know, you get people like Cate Blanchett, and like Malala and just do this like cool ass festival just showcasing all these women who are changing the world, charge a bunch of money, get some merch, get some branded tampons, you know, get Beyonce to freaking give birth on stage to her next child so people get that women are amazing. And I think that would be, like, I would buy all the merch from this women's festival. I think this women's festival should be called, fucking duh, women are amazing. Do you think that would work?
I think that's a great idea. You're basically describing Lilith Fair, but with diversity.
I never checked out Lilith Fair because that was white girl shit, right?
It was very, very white.
Yeah, because it was like literally every like white woman who had a bob haircut at the time was like doing Lilith Fair, and I was like, not for me, bye.
Do you have any other platforms? Like, what do we need to do about unemployment, Phoebe?
What do we need? We need an app so when I watch Save the Last Dance and I go, oh, I've seen that actor's face before, what's he in? There's an app where you can hold your phone up to the screen and it will tell you who that actor is. And the app is called What's That Guy from That Thing? I mean, I feel like Hillary should give me a job. I just created so many jobs with that app. That's your unemployment plan. I literally solved America in 3 minutes. What would you tell the first female president? Like, what are some of your ideas?
Well, I highly recommend the Diva Cup.
Okay, I've never used that in my life.
It's perfect for the gal on the go. Like a president. Hello? Susan? Yeah, I'll run down and grab them right now. Okay, bye. Phoebe, it's time for a guest.
Oh my god, I'm so excited because I'm talking to my girl, Alana Glazer. Yup, yup. You guys all know her as a co-creator, co-star, and co-writer of Broad City. And guess what? She's an executive producer on So Many White Guys, too!
Okay, but before we hear the interview, let's hear from our sponsors.
Hey, sweet peas! Welcome back! We are now live on the streets of Times Square with Alana Glazer! You guys, come on. Of course I'm not on the streets of Times Square. That's literally disgusting. Plus, this isn't MTV. We aren't TRL. I am not Carson Daly, even though I know. I sound exactly like him. I hear it all the time. 4 and 3 and 2 and 1, 1.
Oh my god, that was fun Saturday.
That was super fun.
That was just chill.
And the moon, I mean,
oh,
you know.
That moon was incredible.
It was gorgeous.
This is so dope. I'm so excited for the series.
Okay, so some people may know that I worked on Broad City.
You inaugurated it. You were in the pilot at Office Warehouse when the girls were trying to return all the staplers and shit.
Yes, I was the no-nonsense employee with a baby afro.
That's
and
right.
I was not feeling you guys.
You were not feeling our race talk.
No.
Our bullshit, bullshit ideations.
Oh, I love this song. Ugh, oh, this is a slave song. It's not a slave song. Yes, it is. I feel like all we ever talk about is black people and slavery. Hi.
Can you leave?
Yeah, we're going to ending the convo.
I was 15 pounds lighter, so there was like a distinctive jawline, which I don't have anymore.
Oh, that's funny. I don't realize that.
I realize it all.
Gotcha. Well, we're in the industry to realize it, I guess.
I know. It's always like, do I need to lose weight to like be like a love interest? It's like so gross and disgusting and anti-feminist, but we're trying.
People are like about normal women. They're like, they have to either lose 40 pounds or gain 40 pounds.
I know.
It's like an old saying or whatever.
I don't know if you remember this, but we met like 7 years ago when we did Jamie Lee's stand-up show at Karma Lounge.
Oh, remember it was for like pets?
I do. And yeah. Didn't people used to smoke hookah in
people
there?
People used to smoke hookah in there. We would be like doing stand-up. And we had this bit about like Sex in the City. I can't remember the bit, but it was so funny.
Just about how there were no black people. And it was like...
And I remember just like, before I even knew the word Yas was like a thing, I was like, oh my God. You're like this girl.
Yeah.
So I like loved you.
You're such a good friend too. You inspired me to be like a better friend to you and in general. Yeah, I love catching up on the phone. It's such a classic. Also, it's like very like female, which I love.
Right.
It's like gabbing on the phone, just talking that bullshit on the phone. I like love it. It's so good. You like remind me about the importance of phone calls.
Well, you're like so close with your parents and you have like a very like tight-knit family. Like, have you guys always been like that growing up? You guys were always very like interconnected or like...
I feel like it's more leaving home that made me be like, I have to... I don't know. Also, like the older you get, you're like... My parents are alive. That's really cool. I should call them. I don't know. It's very like Jewish. We're like, my parents are like, I like talk to them Sunday morning. My dad was like, maybe we'll talk to you later. I was like, I can't talk to you later. It's like not healthy.
Like later today?
He was like, well, not later today. I don't know. I was like, yeah, right. Yeah. If you mean a general later, yes. But if you mean today, I gotta like have one boundary. I like talk to them all the time. But I really do love them.
Yeah. So just if anyone hasn't seen Broad City yet, put this on pause, go watch the 3 seasons and then come back. Hey, to be like, your character Alana, because you are Alana, but you're also not Alana.
Yeah, totally.
So your character is just so many great things that she's done in the show, but I love her character because she was, what did she say?
You know, I'm picking all white dudes right now. I must be craving pink dick.
She's craving some pink dick.
Yeah.
I think it's like really funny.
Yeah.
Damn, that penis is...
Is that something you've always said, or?
I think it was just that when I started dating David, I hadn't been with a white guy in a while.
That's right, you have.
And yeah, I was
so we're
like
the inverse of each other.
I was like, whoa, I forgot the color. That was it. I forgot the color.
You're like, oh, hello.
Yeah, and it's also like funny, like that's the one dick you can call by its color, and it's like. Fine with everybody.
Yeah. Like if you were like yellow dick, people would be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
They're like, fuck these broads or whatever. But pink dick, it's like just minimizing the get the white guy in a leash.
Yeah. Wait, is David like your first like
I had
legit,
one boyfriend before David, but David's my first like good, healthy boyfriend. I think before I was just more like hookup friends with people and just whoever I was friends with, which is...
People of color.
Yeah, and also, like, just not necessarily white or something. You know what I mean? It's like, a diverse group of friends that I would hook up with.
So, like, on the show, was it, like, an agenda to represent, like, interracial coupling? Or was it just you and Hannibal just really, like, working together a lot?
Yeah,
and
Hannibal
it just
was in the web series, and it was, like... I think we pitched the show with him as a character. Also, Bevers, too.
Yeah.
I don't think we were, I think it was like a bigger thing the first season. It was like, they're making a statement. And it was like, we were like aware of the perception of it. But to us, it was just more about Hannibal as an individual.
Yeah.
But I think over the past few seasons that we've aired, there's like a lot more where people were like, she's dating a black guy. And it was like kind of like a joke. And we were like, oh, I don't get the joke or whatever. Right. And now there's like a lot, I think a lot more, not because of us. It was just like moving that way anyway. But there's like a lot more interracial couples on TV. And like same with weed. It used to be like, can you believe how much they smoke? And now it's like, no, there's weed in everything. Like there's a lot of like weed programming.
Yeah, it felt like, I think people were being like, it's so crazy, look at this interracial couple, and it's like, and you guys completely avoided that and just were like, we're going to treat these like two people who are into each other,
right,
and not make it like race defines their every interaction, which I thought was great.
It's also like, you know, we live in New York. I'm not really even aware of what happens outside of the city. Like, maybe I guess it is probably a bigger deal to people who aren't in cities or something, but it's cool to like talk about some stuff and then also not talk about some stuff, like showing versus telling, I guess.
And normalizing it in a way where it's like, this is just what it is.
Yeah.
Like, deal with it. So since you have experience dating outside your race, and I have mostly only dated white dudes because I went to like mostly white college and comedy's mostly white, I need some help getting some some non-white dudes. What
some
should
dudes
I do?
Of color.
Yeah, get how can I get some dudes of color?
I don't even know, like dating dudes of color, but like dating in general, weed helps. To me, it's like an activity, and you're like, do you want to smoke or whatever?
I like that. Dude, I'm going to the Beyonce concert in September, so I'm trying to meet some hot black dudes there.
That's hot. I hope that straight dudes are there.
I know. Might be a lot of gay dudes.
Yeah.
But we'll make it work.
You're like not religious, but you can go to like a black church.
I don't know. I just clear out on Sunday because black church lasts forever.
You're like, I'm an atheist.
Yeah. It's like as long as the OJ documentary, the 30 for 30. Right. It's like legit 7 hours.
It would be cool if you like said to someone, I'm an atheist, and they were like, me too. And then that would be like instant.
Oh my God. So I want to talk about another thing on Bronte that I super duper love. And I love that your character is pretty much sexually fluid and it's not presented as like, she's confused plotline. You know what I mean? So many shows like, she's going to figure out she's straight. She just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, she's not confused.
Right. And so I feel like your character is just attracted to people and not gender. Was that like something intentional from the beginning, or did it just kind of snowball?
I don't know about like intentional. Mm-hmm. People really like take the Alana attraction to Abby really seriously. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's more like an aspect of their friendship rather than Alana's sexuality. Yeah, I do view her as fluid. I feel like she's like down to explore individuals in general and like use sex as a vehicle to like see into different worlds. But I'm also like, she is like a bit straight too, right? Mm-hmm. Like she's like so this like push and pull with Lincoln, and he's like the only guy she's like, only person I think she's like legit dated.
Yeah.
I do think it kind of developed over the seasons, like up to my like doppelganger. And we were like, Alana isn't to girls, right? She should like date her. And then it was just kind of the joke about, I mean, straight people do this too, but it's funny when gay couples look like exactly alike.
Okay, so Adele is just about to meet us. I just want to let you know, and it's mostly sexual. She's not replacing you.
I don't feel threatened.
I don't know what it is about this girl.
Dude, she looks exactly like you.
And you're like, that's amazing.
It's so weird to me because I'm like, why would you want to have sex with someone who looks just like you?
I think
you?
Some people want to like hook up with people just like them, and then other people want to hook up with people nothing like them. And straight couples can do that too, and they have like the same look and vibe and style. So it's just kind of similar to real life when you're like, oh, I'm trying this thing and I'm thinking about it, but I'm also like not thinking about it and just doing it. And then I think that is kind of how our process is too in the show.
Yeah. What's been the response from like the LGBTQ community in terms of how Alana represents queerness?
I think the LGBTQAI2S plus community.
Oh, see, I can only get up to the Q and then I'm like,
it's a
I
lot.
Don't remember. It's so,
it's a lot.
That's a lot of letters. There's no easy flow.
I think
to
you can
it.
Also just be like plus.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
It's like, that is like at all. But they've responded to the show well. We're always like, oh, we're so straight and all this shit. But it's like, no, we do like think about the LGBT community, Q plus community.
Yeah.
They've embraced the show. I think their favorite gif is a little white kid. Yas queen.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny.
It's been I think they've appreciated that online.
So real quick, I want to talk to you about this, because I feel like this is an issue that's been coming up just generally in culture. So you were recently on New York Radio Hour, and they asked you about cultural appropriation on Broad City, because your character uses black slang sometimes. And you and Abby basically said it's a bummer to be accused of that, but also cultural appropriation is a bummer. So since you started the show, and you're a person who has like think pieces written about you, like, what do you think you've learned from something about cultural appropriation and other things that are said about you guys?
You know, the same thing where it's like growing consciousness and like growing intentionality. Cultural, like white girl cultural appropriation has become like a theme, I think, like a joke theme on the show where, you know, like you see all these like whatever photo shoots of like white girl with a bindi or whatever. And you're like, what? It's like really all around us. And I feel like our we're just like at this time where like the change is like, I think, really fucking happening. Like, it really is. This like general consciousness is growing and crystallizing. So I feel like our part of our like white girl cultural appropriation joke is like marking this time in history where white people are like learning, oh yeah, I'm a white person. I'm not just like a person, like a normal person on TV. It's like, no, you're a fucking white person, which is like a specific thing. And like, I think white people are slowly becoming the minority, you know, like the minority in consciousness.
Which is why people are freaking out right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're like, wait, what's like, happening to the America that I knew? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, make America great again.
It's like, it was terrible for everyone who, like, wasn't a white straight guy with a dick.
Like, yeah, and it's just like, sucked. you're just, like, missing the whole fucking point. The earth spins. You can't just, like, stand and stop it spinning. Like, you have to, like, recognize what's happening.
So your parents are like very involved in your lives, but they're also like really great in their own respect. Like, what do your parents do again?
My dad works for New York Life and is like a financial dude. We're Jewish. And my mom works with him a few times a week and is like kind of his hot secretary wife.
Oh my God. That's like Mad Men, but like respectful. You know? That's great.
It's like Mad Men, but they're 60. It's not the 60s.
Yeah. So, like, my parents, like, I'm pretty close to my parents and my brothers. Like, we're a very, like, tight-knit, like, nuclear family. But I'm definitely like, you guys can't listen to Two Dope Queens. Like, they've never heard an episode. It's funny, but I just don't think they want to hear me talking about sex, like, at all.
Totally.
But, like, I feel like your parents would be, like, are they down for whatever?
They're pretty down. They're, like, really try to be open-minded. You know what I mean? Not even try. They are consciously open-minded. They want to be open-minded. So... yeah, I don't really limit them on what they see of mine, but I have been getting back into stand-up recently, and I'm like, I don't really want them to come to that, just because I like a room full of strangers, and then
I'm the same way. And my brother's always like, hey, can you do shows when you come home to Cleveland? I'm like, no, I just want to be a person when I'm in Cleveland, and I just will feel weird.
Stand-up, too, it's like, I just want to be, like, free in this, like, vulnerable moment, and, like, not thinking about stuff, and, like, Broad City is more, you know, it takes like a year to make the season. So it's more thoughtful. Like even like pegging or whatever, I'm like, that's fine. It's like a thing that exists and it's not like actually us.
Right.
Whereas stand-up is like actually you.
Listen, dude, I'm freaking the f*** out right now. So we were doing it and I was like, we should switch positions. And then he throws me a strap on. This is a dream come true. Thank you for sharing this with me. Dude, I'm calling for advice.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so start by lubing up the head.
Like, if you talked about pegging on stage, your dad would be like, okay.
Yeah, it is like a different thing, yeah. I guess.
So what made you want to get back into stand-up? Because, I mean, Broad City's going so well, and you're doing movies. Like, what made you want to get back to your roots a little bit?
I just, I don't know, I just missed it. You know, I'm like, just because Broad City did well doesn't mean that I know my voice now forever. Mm-hmm. Like, I still am like, I'm still discovering my voice. I feel like it's like helping me remember what my individual voice is. And it also, like, it just makes me feel real.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, being in a vacuum, like, in a writer's room is, like, so mind-numbing, and it's like, do I even know what's funny anymore? And do I know what people, like, you know, when you do a show, you like really feel, it's weird, it's just like the air feels like what this group of people is like going through that day.
It's and
just
it's like immediate, like a joke either works or doesn't.
Yeah. And like,
you know,
you, I don't know, like being on a set, movie sets are like the most vacuum to me, where it's like I am in a fake world.
Mm-hmm.
Broad City is like a little bit more alive, and maybe TV's more alive because it's like smaller increments. But
and also you're shooting like in real life. Like you're shooting like on the streets of New York. You're not shooting a lot.
Right.
And I think that helps breathe life.
Definitely
into it,
here.
Know?
I think I would feel really different if I lived in LA and was working in LA. I really like LA, and I like that categorization, and it's cool that compartmentalizing in a way of like life where you're like, people have like their like beautiful houses and then they drive to like a studio and they like generate something inside of like a set.
Like a fake house. Yeah, it's so weird.
Nuts to me. It's so crazy. It does seem like kind of luxurious because it's so like trailer to the studio. Like you're walking 20 feet versus like, you know, when we're like shooting Broad City, people are like, move. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, we're shooting, but you're right. We should move.
Yeah. You know totally. But I feel like with your stand up, and I think a lot of times when people like reach a certain status, you do a show, people want to film it. Like someone recorded your set where you were talking about that guy, which I thought as a stand up comic, I was like, how dare you record? I just get so mad about that because it's such a violation of privacy. But you had this bit where you're talking about how this guy pretending he was a writer on Broad City.
And like, other stuff too, just like among our friends.
Right. Like, to like hook up with women, which I think is, that's so scary.
My friend, whatever, Katie or something, went on a date with this guy and he said he was a writer on the show. We're like, There's like four of us. Me and Abby are two of the four. We're like, what? There's four of us. It's, okay? He's in, he went to a show from 2014, took pictures with us and like reposted them recently, and he's like, my friends, and sends this girl, look, this is what I was doing today. Like I was at work on Broad City.
I know. That's so crazy. But also the fact that you worked on that and that immediately went online, does it change? Does it make you feel like you can't be as vulnerable on stage? Like you don't want to try stuff out because what they're putting out there is unfinished. Like it's a work in like stand up is such a work in progress, and people who don't do stand up don't realize like jokes are always changing and
growing. I'm like easing back into it. Like it was more fun when we were younger, and it was just like nobody gives a shit. Like I like that feeling when people are like, who cares? Right. And you're just like, okay, then I can really fucking let her rip. And it's just bad. I definitely have more anxiety about it. But I'm like, I need to be attacking that anxiety, I think, to like get myself to my own next level.
Yeah. Well, it's it's a difference because, you know, I started stand-up when I was 23. It's just like, there's no stage. I was just like, I don't know what this is going to be. I'll just do it. I'll just say some jokes on stage. And now I've been doing it for 8 years and people kind of know who I am a little bit. So like, if I go do a show, I'm like, oh man, I gotta be good. Like I can't just have those sets where I'm just going to do 15 minutes of me just completely working it out.
Yeah.
Like people need to laugh. And
it's like, cool. It's like, that means you're at this next level, but
yeah.
And it's like, I guess it's a pressure you can handle because you kind of created it.
Yeah.
You did create it.
Yeah. That's fine. So looking back on your 20s, like, and all that, you know, I know it's a lot to ask. But like once you get past 30, you'll be like, see you later, 20s.
Yeah. I don't even miss it. I'm just like, oh my God.
It's been a long stretch. So like, if there's any like one thing that you could tell like your younger self, whether it's like in the world of comedy or like outside of it, like what advice would you give your young self?
Damn. You know how people like in show business are like, if you can do something else, do something else. This business is so hard, all that shit.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm like, if you go really, really, really hard and make big mistakes up top. Abby told me this speech this guy, Jerry Saltz, said, where it's like, fail flagrantly, because I think you like learn the you can like learn the most the quickest if you like go so hard, and then if you don't want to go hard, have an enjoyable life and be a really nice person.
Yeah,
just be really nice and have like a real as pleasant a life as you can. But yeah, I guess just go hard. There's like no other way to do it, I think, if you're trying to get something done.
Yeah, that's good advice. Thank you. Our parents raised us right.
Yeah.
All right, high five. Titty bump from across the table.
Thanks for having me. This
of course.
This is awesome.
This is great. Oh my God, thank you so much. I love you.
Love you.
Wikey wife. Boom, interview rocked. You know, I really felt like I was channeling Oprah. Like it was friendly. I mean, Alana and I are friends, but I felt like we were more friends.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It was like you were sort of like casual, but you also meant serious business.
Like a mullet?
Like, Like casual in the front, party in the back?
Yeah.
Or no, wait, sorry. Like business in the front and party in the back?
Yeah, like you're saying I'm like Billy Ray Cyrus?
I'm not saying that. Stevie, you gotta remind people about the thing that you're really excited about or else we won't have time.
Do you mean my book?
I do.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. So you guys, I have my first book ever. It's a collection of essays called You Can't Touch My Hair and Other Things I Still Have to Explain. It's being published by Plume and it comes out October 4th. It is currently available for pre-order wherever books are sold. Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, all the other places. I'm really, really excited about this book. Please, please pre-order it. All the pre-order sales count to the first week. And if I get enough sales, I'll end up on the New York Times bestsellers list. And that's my dream. So please help, 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 help make this happen. Okay, love you, mean it.
Perfect.
The So Many White Guys team includes Daisy Rosario, Rachel Neal, Joanna Solitaroff, Alex Overington, James Ramsey, Paula Schumann, Jen Poyant, Joe Plord, Casey Means, and Shanoa Estrada. Our theme music was sung by a bunch of white dudes. Alana Glazer is our executive producer.
Friday, 1:24 p.m.
Hey, Phoebe, it's Alana's boyfriend. I was wondering if you have Alana's new number, because every time I call, it's like out of service or something, and she's just been leaving me, like, really crazy voicemails, I guess, from a landline. Like, I know I'm a white dude and all, but it's very, you know, like, she keeps calling me, you know, and says I can't listen to your show, but I really like your show. Like last week's episode was great. Then she, like, left me, you know, a voicemail saying that if I wasn't picking up because I was at my Klan meeting. But, like, the thing is, I'm, you know, it's like I'm Jewish. I just was wondering if you could tell her to please stop calling me. You know, I'm gonna block her number. And she just texted me from someone else's phone saying that now it makes sense why I got white chocolate the other day. So anyway, I just want to say, please tell her to stop calling me. I love the show and people of all races I love very much. So thank you and goodbye.
End of messages.